This podcast is not safe for work and will feature movie spoilers. It will feature scenes described of a graphic nature. It will contain language which most listeners may find offensive. Welcome to the podcast Under the Stairs. Hi everyone and welcome to the podcast Under the Stairs. This is episode 235. I'm your host Duncan McLeish. Welcome to the show. I was at a loose end. You guys stepped up, filled the void with your suggestions, your ideas of where we could take this Monday episode. Truth be told, it was the first Monday episode in months that I had no plans, nothing in the diary, no guests booked, nothing to discuss. I mean, there's always things to discuss, but I was kind of at a loose end. Did I want to start a new series? Did I want to continue an existing series? What did I want to do? I was at a loose end and you guys stepped up and a good buddy, Chris Weston, came back and said, you know what? How about some X-Files? And I was like, you know, I like me some X-Files. In fact, I grew up watching the X-Files. It has a fond place in my heart. Myself and the fantastic Bo Ransdell have discussed X-Files, most notably the kind of resurrection of that TV show over in Duncan Bo Come Correct. But I've never chatted the old school, the old shit. And I thought, this is kind of cool. Maybe a little creature feature, Monster of the Week episode could be fun. So I then put it back to you guys. What did you want me to talk about? And unanimously, there were two episodes that people wanted discussed. And miraculously, those two episodes are actually one long episode, if we're being honest. So on Podcast Under the Stairs, episode 235, on this Monday, we are discussing two episodes from season one. We're discussing Squeeze and Tombs. One from 1993 and the other one debuted in 1994. Almost bookend in the series because one was episode 3 and the other one's 22. So it's essentially just out with the penultimate episodes closing out the series. So that's what we're going to discuss after the first break. We're going to do a review of Squeeze. Then we're going to take another break and then come back and do a review of Tombs. Which one is the better episode and why? We'll find out. And to be honest with you, if you guys enjoy this and there are specific X-Files episodes that you want me to do a review on, listen, I'm your guy. I'm your buddy. Don't want to have to do the entire show from start to finish. But if there's specific ones, and there was certainly plenty of names flying around, start firing them in on the Facebook group page and I'll take notes of them and we'll just squeeze them in as and when we can. These are easy episodes for me to record. Minimal effort in terms of the watch because they're only 45 minute episodes and then we get to chat about them here. So I'm just giving you the heads up. If thou will it, it will happen. So it's a brand new week of horror podcasting from Under the Stairs kicking off right here on Monday. On Thursday, there will be a movie club announcement for Challenge Teapots July 2020. I'll be giving you the heads up on what the third installment of our Spanish language horror movie theme will be, and trust me, it is a good one. Older than the previous suggestions, but no less interesting to say the least. So that's coming on Thursday. On Saturday, it's a listener choice episode where you guys control the movie choice is probably better, of what we'll cover on the Saturday. As always, you need to be in the Facebook group page on Friday to control that pick. It's facebook.com/groups/teapotscast. Continuing on though, we have on the Sunday the next installment of our 88 Films Slasher Classic Collection, and we have finally reached disc number 30. Praise the Lord and fucking hallelujah as we do the Toolbox Murders. A little bit of video nasty action coming your way. On the Teapots Collective, dropping tomorrow is the next installment of Doing the Nasty. It's coming out on the last day of the month, and it's a good one. It's a real, real good one, and you want to check that one out. You have to be subscribed to the Teapots Collective feed in order to hear that episode. And that's us all caught up, just like that. Easy fucking peasy. Now, ladies and gents, we are almost in July, which means at the very end of that month, we'll be kicking off the Summer Teapots Top 10 series. And trust me when I tell you right now, I've already recorded 5 of those episodes, and the average length per episode at the moment is about 4.5 hours, and the content is fucking amazing. You will be spoiled. You will be spoiled. So get your game face on, because that will be here before you know it. But let's get to the order of business right now. I'm going to take a short break. You're going to hear promos for shows that I love. You're going to hear the teaser trailer for Squeeze from 1993. This was the 3rd episode in the 1st season of The X-Files. I'll be right back to discuss it right after this.
Hello?
Hello. Who is this?
Who are you trying to reach?
I don't know.
I think you've got the wrong number.
Do I?
I'm gonna hang up.
Wait, don't hang up. What's that noise?
Popcorn?
You're making popcorn?
Uh-huh.
I only eat popcorn when I listen to podcasts.
I'm about to listen to a podcast.
Oh, really? Which one?
Probably the podcast on Haunted Hill.
Is that the one with the 2 guys with the beards?
Yeah, Dan and Gav. Most episodes, they look at 2 different horror movies. Each episode, they look at a world of the strange, where they look at weird things from around the world. Sometimes, they even do special episodes where they look at different genres or directors' discographies and talk about them.
Do you have a boyfriend?
Maybe.
So where can I find the podcast on Haunted Hill?
Well, you could go to legionpodcast.com, Facebook, Twitter, or just go into iTunes and search for the podcast on Haunted Hill. So, are you going to ask me out?
It awakens once every 30 years to kill.
Undetermined points of entry. Each victim had their liver removed.
But this time...
Position 10 requesting backup.
2 FBI agents...
Oh my God, Mulder.
...will be waiting for it. The X-Files, an all-new episode, Friday at 9, 8 Central.
And welcome back. So, you've just heard a little introduction for Squeeze. This was episode number 3 of season 1. It debuted 3rd of October 1994. I had it in my head that it debuted in 93, and I think it did, but I think the dates that appear here are UK dates, and we were behind you guys a little bit when it came to the showing of this one. This one is directed by Harry Longstreet, but is written by Glenn Morgan and James Wong. Now, these guys should be on your radar specifically when it comes to the summer series, as you will hear them pop up a few times, whether it is Glenn Morgan's outing doing a little bit of the Willard remake or the Black Christmas remake, or if it's James Wong, for example, who did a little movie called Final Destination. So these guys will reappear there, but they're the writing credits behind this one. It's obviously based on the characters created by Chris Carter. It stars, of course, David Duchovny, Gillian Anderson. It's got Doug Hutchison, who plays Eugene Victor Toombs, one of the most iconic villains of all time. With Donald Logue, who has went on and done about a million fucking things. It's probably most notable for... I mean, he's done some horror movies, to be sure, but he became... very much on my radar through Sons of Anarchy. So he's in it. Henry Beckman, Kevin McNulty, Terence Kelly. We have Colin Winton, James Bell, Gary Hetherington, and some other folks are in here as well. Synopsis for this one, ladies and gents, is Mulder and Scully search for a humanoid killer whose savage murder spree reoccurs every 30 years. Ooh. Kind of almost like a little bit of, wait one second, Jeepers Creepers. I mean, it couldn't be at all. Is he collecting body parts? Oh, just like Jeepers Creepers. Anyway, let's not get ahead of ourselves here. Let's stick to what we know. I remember, right, a bit of context here on this one. I was a fucking huge X-Files fan. I mean, I can't stress this enough. This hit me just at the right time. 1994 was the year I started high school. So I was just starting high school, and I was the geeky kid that liked the horror movies and kind of loved Star Trek, so I was into my sci-fi as well. And then The X-Files came along and blew my tiny little mind, because it was like getting a horror movie every fucking week on the TV, which dealt with Monsters of the Week episodes, grand conspiracies, you know, alien abductions, the works. Like, Duncan loved this fucking show. And yeah, religiously watched it, and then came to own them on VHS first, and then on DVD. Still to pull the trigger on the Blu-ray, I'll eventually get around to that. But they're all on Amazon Prime at the moment, so if you are like, Duncan, I've never seen this episode, or it's been years, Amazon Prime, they're all there. Go and check them out. Go and watch Squeeze, go and watch Tombs Come Back. It'll take you an hour and a half, and then you're ready to rock. But yeah, I remember Squeeze being the first one that really grabbed my attention and was like, oh, this is a different show. I mean, X-Files, that first season in particular, did a great job of basically, I'm going to say paying homage, but it did more than that, of essentially remaking horror movies for 45-minute episodes. And it took its influences very much from 80s horror movies and wore it very much on its sleeve. In a way where if you'd watched any horror movies in the 80s, chances are you knew kind of what was going to be happening in your X-Files episode. But Squeeze was the first one to me where we actually got something which was kind of terrifying. Now, I don't believe in aliens. I've never believed in aliens. I don't believe in alien abductions, and that might be ignorant to some people. I don't believe it. I think that there is no reason at all that we were getting loads of sightings when people didn't really have the technology to take photos of them, and now everyone has the technology to take photos, there's less sightings now. That makes zero sense to me. Anyway, I don't want to get into an argument. I'm a skeptic, that's what I want to say. But this was the first one to me where I was like, oh my god, this guy is he human? Is he not human? And he can get you anywhere because he can essentially change the shape of his body and squeeze, guess what, that's where the name comes from, squeeze through any space to come and get to you. So, I mean, the kind of premise or setup on this one is Dana Scully's, you know, she's three episodes into working with Mulder, and it kind of starts off with someone dying in a mysterious circumstance where it looks like the person that's killed him has crawled through the tiniest air duct to kill him. He's butchered in that his liver is ripped out of his body with no trace of how the person got in at all. It was not possible because all the doors were locked and all the windows were closed, etc, etc, etc. Dana Scully is meeting up with one of her old FBI buddies who's basically mocking her for working with Mulder, and at the same time basically saying to her, listen, you know, we should be moving up in the FBI, you know, grabbing the bull by the horns, etc, etc, and you're doing yourself no favours working with that Mulder guy. How about you work on this case for me, and that'll raise your profile, put you in good stead, etc, etc. And of course Scully feels marginally loyal to Mulder at this point and invites him along, and of course when he comes in he starts having these harebrained theories that this might be an X-File, specifically because he finds this elongated print fingerprint on one of the ducts that no one could crawl through this, you know, air vent. And he links it back to an X-File where there has been murders reported essentially every single 30 years. Five murders, five livers removed, and the fingerprints, which are unique to us humans, each one has a unique fingerprint. These elongated ones have been taken from every single one dating back to 1906, I think it is. And so he starts getting involved with the case. Of course, they very quickly come across this guy, Eugene Toombs, who appears to have the perfect alibi, although his print matches. But there's no way that Scully can convince Mulder not to go in heavy-handed with his conspiracy theories, and at the same time, there's no way the FBI is going to not have egg on its face by saying, oh, we have a, you know, a 100-year-plus-old killer who, you know, has never aged, etc, etc. It basically plays out like a bit of a cat-and-a-mouse game after that, and ultimately culminates, unlike some of the other episodes in here, with a full-on conviction. So there isn't like he's abducted by aliens or he dies at the end and no one will ever know. Eugene Toombs is actually arrested at the end of this for attacking Scully. And the kind of pivot for us here is that, you know, because he's been captured and because of his unique ability and because he needs to feed to hibernate every 30 years, essentially what you're going to have is a kind of, well, he could return sometime, which they do later on in the season, which we'll get to that when we talk about Toombs, but I thought this was fucking genius. Young Duncan thought it was genius. Watching it back, old Duncan thinks it's fucking genius as well. Elements I really like about this is the gnarly attention to detail, specifically in terms of, like, his eyes change colour. They become this kind of almost beast-like yellow that glows in the dark when he is hunting his prey. It's kind of adapted more in the Toombs one, and we'll talk about those details about how he stalks his prey and how that actually links to how apparently serial killers, you know, have confessed about how they feel when they see the right victim. But on top of that, you've got this wonderfully creepy, weird fucking performance in here of the character of Eugene Victor Toombs by Doug Hutchison, who isn't doing much, but it's because he isn't doing much, it's kind of terrifying. On top of that as well, he's kind of perpetually kind of wet and slimy looking, which I think works really, really well on it. It's so weird to see David Duchovny so young and Gillian Anderson so young here. Duchovny looks like he's like early 20s, which just blows my mind. He's maybe a bit older than that, I don't know, but he really does. I had come across him like maybe the year before in Twin Peaks. So, you know, and he's in drag essentially in Twin Peaks. And I, you know, it was the first time I was fully aware of David Duchovny as an actor. But, you know, Fox Mulder is one of my favourite characters ever, you know, ever on screen, as is Dana Scully. I was always more kind of, I always gravitated more to Gillian Anderson as a character because I'd like to think that I approach things with a sceptical, scientific, rational mind. But I'll be honest, Gillian Anderson was hot as fuck, still is hot as fuck, and gets hotter every fucking year. God knows how she does it, but that woman is, dear God almighty. You know, cold shower time, ladies and gents. So, yeah, seeing these, and they're still so fresh in their kind of ex-fell relationship. So Gillian Anderson is still the eternal sceptic at this point, and Mulder just wants to believe in anything fanciful and out there. And I think that's kind of amazing. And it was nice jumping back into this without the context of watching like the previous two episodes, which, by the way, I think are great as well. But, yeah, and then you are kind of, you meet this cop that investigated things before and how this has left him kind of shattered, how it affected his life, not being able to prove. He was pretty much there. He had, he'd tracked down Toombs, he'd pieced together all the parts, but this was in the 60s and there was nothing he could do about it, which I kind of loved. There is insinuations, though, that he was involved with the 30s case, and we're set in the 90s, which means this guy must be in his 80s and he doesn't look like he's in his 80s. And I think that's a small detail flaw here, if I'm being honest. This cop just doesn't feel as old as he should be to have investigated a case in the 30s. Plus, some of the evidence he shows is like he shows a photograph which is pristine condition and was taken on a camera that I don't think existed in the 30s. He's got a... He's just managed to walk out with evidence which contains a jar with a bit of severed kidney in it, which will become important in the episode Toombs. But once again, just doesn't look like anyone's ever touched this jar or anyone's ever looked through this case file, which is at a minimum 60 years old. Those sort of things where you're watching, you're going, ah, this hasn't really aged all that well. The last bit of detail that I fucking love about this is the idea of how Toombs hibernates. And it is this kind of really disgusting when you think about it, idea of he makes his own kind of hibernation den using bits of torn up newspaper and spit, or as they quantify it in here, specifically bile, which is this horrible yellow colour. And we get this great line where Mulder kind of touches like the substance, he's pulling his hands back, and Scully's like, it smells like bile. And he's like, is there any way that I can get this off my hands quickly and not, you know, ruin my, you know, cool cam exterior? Which, once again, shows you, like, the X-Files always had this wicked sense of humour that I really, really enjoy watching, specifically from Duchovny, who's very playful as a character. Overall, this episode, like, has a huge bit of importance, not only because it gives us one of the first iconic villains of the X-Files, but because it's the first time we get a really cool crossover sort of story. Specifically, like I said before, this bookends. At the beginning, their relationship is such a way where, Mulder is still very much out there and Scully's still very much a skeptic. And by the time you reach episode 22, when Toombs drops, Scully's seen some shit. You know what I mean? She's inclined to start believing Mulder, and there's a bit of commentary here about how she's changed as a character that we'll touch on when we speak about Toombs that I think is really interesting. It does kind of bookend the first season of how far these characters have come and what they have seen, and also implications of what's going on with the Smoking Man and D.A. Skinner, who's in the Toombs episode, so we'll get a chance to speak about that shortly. Overall, I think this fucking episode is great. I'll be honest, I'm more inclined to think that Toombs is the better episode, so you'll see in the grading that I give it a 4 out of 5. I don't think it's not the best the X-Files ever did, but it is certainly one of the more iconic ones. I've got a vague memory that it was either Bravo or Channel 4's, you know, scariest TV moments or scariest movie moments or scariest moments filmed or whatever it was, that the Toombs character appeared in that list, and there is reasons why, because I think it genuinely is unsettling, and it was the first one that was so grounded in reality that I felt, you know, that, you know, had me looking at air ducts, you know, like vents in my house, you know, like these ventilation, well, vents essentially, which are used to ventilate your room. Surprise, surprise. For some reason, I'm struggling with the term ventilation here, and just describing exactly what it is by its name, which is the function of which it does. But, you know, like that idea, looking up at that, you know, 11-year-old Duncan in his room at night, not being able to sleep, looking up a ventilation duct and kind of going, this isn't good. And it kind of sticks with you. I think it's a fucking great episode. It's a 4 out of 5 full show. But truth be told, I was always more partial to Toombs. And you'll find out why after this break, where you get promos for shows that I love. You'll get a little bit of action from the Toombs episode. And when we return, we're discussing it right after this.
Hey, Andrew.
Hey, Maddie.
Do you like horror movies?
I sure do.
Well, did you know that most horror movies are inspired by real-life horror?
Really? Like what?
Well, take The Shining, for instance. That's based on Stephen King's real-life addictions, or The Purge, which could be our country any minute now.
Oh, and The Strangers, which is based on a real-life murder. People should be talking about these things.
Hey, guys.
Oh, hey, Producer Michael.
Michael, hi.
Well, I hate to break it to you, but somebody already is. It's you.
That's right. We are Frygay the 13th, the podcast where we talk about horror in real life and horror in media, all from an LGBTQ perspective.
Because we gay, y'all.
We are proud members of the Legion Podcast Network, and we can be found on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, or wherever your favorite podcasts are found.
And follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Come along with us on this crazy journey, and as always,
get slayed.
It awakens every 30 years and feeds on human flesh. Agent Mulder was the only one who believed it was real.
He will kill again.
Until now.
Excavation revealed human teeth marks.
Do you believe in monsters? An all-new X-Files next Friday at 9, 8 Central.
And welcome back, ladies and gents. So, here we go. Toombs. This was episode 21, not 22. Duncan, for shame. How dare you get these numbers wrong? I believe this one did air in the States in 1994. It made its way over to the UK in 95. Once again, these dates may be all wrong, but who gives a fuck? This one is directed by David Nutter. Once again, written by Glenn Morgan and James Wong, based on the characters by Chris Carter. Movie stars, David Duchovny again, Gillian Anderson, Doug Hutchison, surprise, surprise. We have Paul Benvictor, who you will know from about a million things. He usually plays a cop or some sort of sleazy lawyer. But yeah, he's like a hard-working actor, specifically in the 90s, did a ton of stuff. We've got Mitch Pileggi here as Walter Skinner. Henry Beckman is back as Frank Briggs, the detective who has been left, you know, as a ruin because he couldn't track down and lock away Eugene Toombs. We have Timothy Weber here. We have Jan D'Arcy, Jerry Wasserman. The Smoking Man makes an appearance in this one as well. Quite a few people in this one overall. The synopsis for this one, as listed on the IMDb, is Eugene Toombs, a supernatural killer whom Mulder helped incarcerate, is released on parole. What's really fun about this one is I recently, as part of the Slasher Classics, talked about the movie Luther the Geek. And one of the things I laughed about at the beginning was how ridiculous this idea was that someone would fight for a parole release of someone who had viciously killed anyone. And it doesn't feel like Toombs has been locked up in the psychiatric ward all that fucking long for everyone to go to bat for him. Once again, this feels like a bit of a plot point failure, a plot hole, so to speak. But it is what it is, and Toombs is released after Mulder sounds absolutely fucking batshit crazy, speaking to a psychiatric parole board about a killer who's over 100 years old. It's a nice little touch, and the way that people look at him makes me quite happy. Of course, his testimony all but allows Toombs to be released. At the same time, we've got Dana in the background, Dana Scully, sitting in with D.A. Skinner, played by Mitch Pileggi, and the Smoking Man in the background, not really saying anything, just doing what Smoking Man does, kind of drilling into Scully that, you know, they're not happy with her performance. She's supposed to be here to debunk the, you know, the stuff in the X-Files, or add a more logical kind of narrative to things. And Scully obviously hits back and says, yeah, our methods might be a bit unorthodox, but our clearance rate is 75%, and that's well above, you know, the Bureau average. And if we start following standard operating procedure, that number might go down. And the insinuation is, well, you know, it's a price they're willing to pay for to try and make sure that, you know, Mulder isn't going all spooky Mulder. So there's a kind of background theme in this episode about, you know, will Scully go to bat for Mulder and the unorthodox approach that he's doing to track things down, or will she toe the FBI line and thus, you know, at the detriment, probably undermine a lot of what Mulder's doing. It's one of the reasons I like this episode so much, because I know how the season finishes and we're spitting distance to this. And the end of this episode is really setting up the first big confrontation between the FBI and the X-Files unit itself. Meanwhile, Toombs is out doing things. What I love is the small attention to detail here, that he only needs one liver and then he can go into hibernation for 30 years. So that there's a finite window here for Mulder to get them. So Mulder is basically hounding him and stalking him. And we get this new thing that we never saw in the previous episode, that was when Toombs sees someone, everything becomes black and white around the person, and they become this vibrant colour, and that's how he sees his victims, which I love this little addition to it. And if you do any reading about serial killers, they will say that when they see the one, you know, they become hyper-focused on that person, and, you know, to the detriment of everything around it. This is their prey, so to speak. I like that little addition in here. Toombs is a very smart character. You can tell he's now fully aware that he's being tracked down. Even sets up Mulder at some point by beating himself up and planting evidence, which looks like it's going to get Mulder suspended from the FBI. And even Mulder's like, there's no way I could have done this. Use the forensics and it'll clear me. And Skinner's just waiting for something to basically get rid of this guy. So it's another little aspect. There's about two or three times that Toombs is very close to chowing down, so to speak, but doesn't quite get it. You know, it hasn't quite got there. because Mulder interrupts things. Meanwhile, in the background, Scully's, you know, reconnected with Detective Frank to get information about the previous cases. And the bit of liver that was removed that we spoke about in the previous episode was the one thing they couldn't tie this down to, and they suspect that a body may have been buried somewhere in the building foundations, and she takes a copper out to find this. He has an instinct, he knows where it is, and they dig up this body, which is, you know, just essentially skeleton by this point. And they start doing forensic work on this, but she's already starting to play a bit footloose and fancy free with that, you know, imperative from the top of the FBI to kind of stay within the rational lines of investigation. Because this medical guy, this, you know, forensic CSI motherfucker, is kind of like, well, you know, I shouldn't be doing this, but I've used this tech and it's definitely this body. Or I've used this thing and it's definitely worked out this way. Or we have this improbable technology, which is 3D mapped Toombs's teeth from somewhere and superimposed over these marks and these bones, and they match, so Toombs is your guy. Which I find really interesting. Once again, it's that check your believability at the door, but then the FBI might have had that tech back then. I don't think they did, but they might have had that tech by then. They may be listening to this call. They probably didn't have the tech back then for working that out. So that's, once again, it's a nice little addition in here. Toombs ultimately does manage to get his liver. Interestingly enough, it's from the guy that manages to set him free, which, you know, cruel irony how I enjoy you in a TV show. And is kind of making a beeline for his hibernation area, which leads to the kind of the ultimate end sequence here of Mulder being, you know, underneath this escalator in a, what is it? It's like a mall or a shopping center. And he finds Toombs' new home, and Toombs comes rushing out all covered in this yellow bile, crawling along this air duct, which, once again, 11-year-old Duncan, this scared the fucking shit out of him. Really, really, really did. It's creepily shot, and Mulder's like looking up through this air duct, trying to crawl out. Scully's trying to help him, and he's being pulled back, and it's like the end of Wreck. It's fucking terrifying. And he ultimately manages to make it out, presses the button on the escalator, which drags Toombs back. That's not how escalators work, but we'll let them off with it. And thus kills Toombs himself. The end of this episode is the bit that I really enjoy, because it like when it finished, it made me just want to binge the last two episodes of the season. But what you get is them checking the report in, and Skinner, you know, turning to the smoking man and saying, yeah, have you read this report? Do you believe this? And like the smoking man's like, yeah, of course I do. And Mulder and Scully chatting outside, and Mulder starting to feel that the walls are closing in and their time working the X-Files together may be coming to an end. That there may be a conspiracy to bury the X-Files once and for all. And the Toombs investigation is the thing that kind of sets that up, which makes it a very important episode. Yeah, once again, it's great to see Skinner in this episode. Fucking amazing to see the Smoking Man, one of my favourite villains of all time on screen. I like Toombs' performance here. It's more nuanced. There's less, like, kind of vicious killing. And there's more of the methodology of how he tracks down his victims, which I think is kind of cool. We go back and do some investigation into his background, which I find, once again, really interesting. I like that little addition. We're flexing our muscles here, breathing room into the mythology of the character, which I think really works. I think Gillian Anderson's fucking amazing in this episode. I actually think she's better than David Duchovny overall, and it's not because she's hot as fuck. It's because she gets a lot more to do in the background stuff, and ultimately she's doing a lot of the X-Files investigation, which I think is really cool, where Mulder is just doing the kind of stock irrational obsessed cop thing that Detective Frank did, you know, some 30 years before, which I think is a kind of cool little addition that they do on here overall. Yeah, this is a great episode. This is a 4.5. Once again, not the best X-File, not top tier X-File for me, but iconic nonetheless. I fucking love it. A 4.5 out of 5. Now, I had a fucking ball doing these, and you can see it's easy to rattle through them, and it's a ton of fun, So maybe we do another double next month. So get your thinking caps on and let's start punt round ideas about specifically what next two episodes of The X-Files you'd want covered in August. And we will be back to do another one of these. But I'm going to take my last break just now. When I come back, I'm closing out the show and I'm doing it right after this.
You're listening to the podcast Under the Stairs.
And you've been listening to the podcast Under the Stairs. This has been episode 235, covering a double bill of X-Files goodness as we looked at two episodes from season one that have shared DNA and that they are basically one long episode. And I kind of fucking love that. We looked at Squeeze, episode number 3 from season 1, and Tombs, episode 21 of season 1. Thank you very much for the suggestion, Chris, to do this. I had a ton of fun. Please send your suggestions on the Facebook group page, facebook.com/groups/teapotscast, for the next two episodes we might want to cover in August. Also, on top of that, I just want to say X-Files is fucking awesome. This is back in the time it was kind of great. It's still not even hit its stride, in my opinion. In terms of the best episodes, I think they come later on, and it is far before the series itself just gets completely lost. So it was so much fun doing this one. There's a multitude of ways to check out this show. Please subscribe to us wherever you're listening to us right now, and also subscribe to Teapots Collective. That way you're never going to miss any of the content that I record, produce and put out. You can visit our website, it's teapotscast.com. You can buy merch to support this show from teapotscast.bigcartel.com. Visit us on Facebook, facebook.com/groups/teapotscast, or visit the Teapots Collective on Facebook, facebook.com/teapotscast. You can reach out and touch myself and the Baz on the twin prongs of social media sexiness, Instagram and Twitter. Both can be followed at teapotscast, and we are still available on Flickchat. I'll be honest, I don't really use it anymore. No one posts there, but I will continue advertising. If it picks up, I will be wooed back to it. But at the moment, they've really pivoted towards a lot of sports stuff that doesn't necessarily gel with the stuff I want to do. So we still have a presence here, and if you guys still want to communicate, I will communicate with you on there. Our join code is TeapotsCast. The podcast Under the Stairs will return to you this Thursday as we announce what is the third Spanish language horror movie covered on Movie Club as part of our 4-episode odyssey, so to speak, through that. So that's coming Thursday. But until then, wherever you are, whatever the time zone is, and whatever you're up to in this big bad world of ours, please take care of yourselves out there. This is Duncan McLeish, broadcasting live from Under the Stairs, and I am signing off.